Good morning. This is November 7th, 2018, the day after the midterm elections for the United States of America. Thank you for listening. Father, we want to have ears to hear what you have to say, what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Thank you for your revelation and putting together the pieces as we've been in intercession for our nation and those that are to be leaders. In Jesus' name. Well, by now you probably know. I'm sure you're paying attention at all. What has happened with the elections? How much prayer has gone on? Been in a lot of intercession. And one of the main aspects to the particular what I kept getting was, our nation, this nation, the United States of America, has a spiritual problem. And a political solution is not a spiritual solution. We have a deep moral, spiritual, rule of law crisis. And it's deepened after this election. So let me give you a couple of scriptures having to do with that. One of our main prayer focuses has been Ezekiel 36, in which is stated that, thus says the Lord, therefore, to the house of Israel, Ezekiel 36, 22, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen wherever you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen when you, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Okay, and then it talks about the regathering of Israel. For I will take you from among the heathen. In other words, he separates us out and gather you from out of all the countries. Of course, this is literal application is to the return to Israel. And will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. All of this is speaking about, this is what God's spirit does. God cleanses us and heals us from our sins and puts a new heart and a new spirit and a heart of flesh, and he puts his spirit within you, which causes us to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Therefore, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we shall, what? Walk in God's statutes and keep his judgments and do them. Very, very, very much a qualifier of who is really a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and is sanctified, baptized in his holy name. We have been praying for an outpouring and outpouring and outpouring and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is huge. And why is there a restraint? Because with the wicked ruling over us in the house, the people rule over. The house is the representatives of the people. We want the people to rule. We want to rule. We want our way. It's all about selfies. It's not about God. So of course you would see Democratic majority because the people want to rule. It's the house of Saul. We don't want to repent. Saul's problem is he didn't want to repent. He didn't have a heart after God. We hope the Senate does. Those Republicans that's been elected, because the Pledge of Allegiance says, And by the way, I did a little study on it, and the first five versions did not have one nation under God. Only in 1950, I think 54, that clause was inserted in there due to what? All the communisms. The progressives were becoming a communist threat. One nation under God. There's only unity. There will be division as long as we are not under God. That's just the facts, ma'am. And I mean the God creator of the universe as laid out in the Holy Scriptures. So this is an opportunity, okay? This is an opportunity. Having done many studies about people in the church and church history and those that God used in a mighty way, or even people who came up to what I call my heroes, hero mentality, those who had great character were selfless acts of love, okay? Do we have very many selfless acts of love operating? No, the world, the flesh, and the devil are operating. But we, contrary to that, here we are in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Okay, so it's the glory of the Lord. It's the light that draws out and exposes and makes manifest the works of darkness. We that is our job. All right, here's the scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Well, let's go up here. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, okay, I'm going to go up here a little bit further. Let's go to verse Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named upon you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but the giving of thanks. Thank you, Lord. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay? We have no fellowship with them. Arise and shine. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So when we come into situations and we're carrying the light, we're a torch, and people that are walking in darkness are compromised, it shines the light on their sin and they become convicted, and then they become carnal, and often they become nasty and attack you. So we just need to have the mind of Christ about what is going on, and so on in Ephesians 5. So the whole point of Isaiah 61 is that we shine in the darkness. And there's a distinct separation. It says, I believe it's in 1 John. John chapter 1. Excuse me. Speaking of the coming of the Messiah, that a great light has come to the Gentiles. It's this whole passage, descriptive passage, of who God was, about the light and the Word. And God was the Word of light. And about John, about Jesus, that the light has never overcome the darkness. Ah, yes, it is. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And another translation says, not comprehended, but never overcomes. the darkness never fully overcomes the light. So we have these great promises. And then I like to go to Psalm 37. This is another psalm that's really been "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be you envious against the workers of iniquity, for they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Trust also in him." Oh, "delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." I know I live in California, so this is big here. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait," in other words, serve the Lord, "upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now, I've been young, and now I'm old. Okay? And I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. So depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off, and the righteous shall inherit the land and shall dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I saw for him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And well, maybe you ask me, Kathleen, what about all those Christians in the Middle East? Well, first of all, persecution is not fun, but it has a way of sifting and weeding out. And the church, the ancient churches of the Middle East, had made deals and come into covenant with the Vatican and the One World Order churches in the sake of unity. And you would hear him say, oh, this church has been here, you know, in Syria. The Apostle Paul established it on the way to Damascus. And this, the Armenian church was the first church in the Middle East, that it became the Church of the Nation. It was a nation church. And so we have it all. And they did not preach the gospel any longer. They were Christian in name. And Islam was the dominant force and the dominant controlling political religious entity around them. It took war and tremendous persecution for them to cry out to God out of their complacency and see that they had a need for a savior. All right, I will just, on this segment, want to go another thing about in these elections. It looks like it's just the line. It's push the line here, push the line there, push the line there. And listen, the outcome of those of us that are Christians and been praying and devoted is not what we wanted it to be. But the Lord's ultimate outcome is ultimately what we want. Therefore, this is part of, because we know that He's Lord, of the discipline and the rods and God giving people over to what they want. So some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in the arm of the flesh, correct? But we trust in the name of the Lord.